This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now your host, he holds a strong belief that the best burgers come from In-N-Out. He is my dad, Brandon Burren.
Welcome to the Chamber Chat Podcast. You're joining us today for episode 110 of Chamber Chat Podcast, where it is my goal to introduce you to people and ideas to help you better serve your chamber members and your community. Our guest today is Alicia Burmis from the Niles Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Illinois. She's the executive director. And Alicia was born and raised in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And after some time in the south suburbs, she's excited to be back home. Alicia has a master's in psychology from Loyola University. And after working in market research for 5 years, she chose to stay home to raise a family and homeschool 2 children. She returned to the workforce in the membership department of Girl Scouts. And after that, she found her way into the chamber world and spent 3 years as executive director at the Frankfurt Chamber. What she loves most about the chamber world is the opportunity to help local business people make connections and build relationships with one another. She believes that in today's world of online, social media, tweeting, and blogging, that the strongest connections are still formed face-to-face and with a handshake, which sounds wrong to say in these days of COVID, but it's still true, and we just have to find new ways to facilitate that handshake. And then after that handshake, the possibilities are limitless. But I'm grateful to have Alicia with us today to discuss the topic of every member as an ambassador. And a while back, I believe it was episode 38, I had done a book review on a book called Superfans by Pat Flynn that kind of touches on a very similar vein of this topic. So I'd encourage everyone to go back and listen to that episode again as well, episode 38. But we will get into this discussion with Alicia right after this brief message. Would you be interested in creating even more value from the processes that you're already doing on a daily basis? Swipit has been one of my sponsors for Chamber Chat from the beginning. Swipit provides credit card payment solutions that will save your chamber up to 40% on your processing fees, and Swipit can integrate your credit card processing seamlessly into your existing membership software. Swipit does not charge chambers to switch, and they will make switching simple. In addition to these savings, Swipit has an affinity program for chambers of commerce, so you can earn more non-dues revenue to support your budget. Learn more about Swipit by requesting your free cost savings analysis and become more profitable today by visiting chamberchatpodcast.com/CC, as in credit card. Again, that's chamberchatpodcast.com/CC, and you can join many other chambers as you begin swiping with Swipit. All right, Alicia, we are back. Thank you for joining us here on Chamber Chat Podcast. If you will, say hello to all the chamber champions that are out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can all get to know you a little bit better.
Hello, chamber champions. I think the most interesting thing about myself was in my bio that I homeschooled 2 kids, and that's not something everybody can say, and it's not something everybody wants to do, and I'm not really sure how it happened, but it took up a big chunk of my life.
And that's what half our country is saying right now. How did I become a homeschooled parent?
So, you know, honestly, what parents are having to do now is not homeschooling.
Yeah.
When you homeschool, you develop that curriculum, you decide what you're doing, and no one's telling you what you have to do, and they don't have to be on the computer. So I empathize with what parents are having to do. Homeschooling was way easier than this.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, a little unrelated, but a while back, I guess it was the end of the last school year, my wife actually set up a little Etsy shop where she did a print. It was like a Dr. Seuss poem, but it was thanking the teachers, you know, for teaching here and there and everywhere and all over Zoom and all this. So it was kind of cute and really took off as a good seller. So, but yeah, absolutely right. Homeschooling is not the same as what.
Yes, it's not the same as what we're having to do now. But you know what? It was an enjoyable part of my life. I wouldn't change it. I had some great time with my kids. But, you know, then it was time to get to work.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about the Niles Chamber so we can have a little more idea of the perspective you're coming from, you know, size, location.
Yeah, Niles is a suburb of Chicago, actually directly a suburb of Chicago. We share some borders with Chicago. Very long, thin community. So while we share borders with Chicago, we also share borders with, I'm going to say, six or seven other communities. So it's a really long, thin community. Population in the vicinity of 30,000. Our chamber size is, I would call us a mid-sized chamber. We're about 325. We currently have one staff member. That's me.
So if beginning the phone of the, rings, we totally understand.
Exactly. You know, I have not gotten used to locking my door when I'm on these things. We had three staff people, and thankfully we did not have to lay anybody off during the pandemic, but we did have staff members that found other opportunities, and we have decided not to replace them right now because fiscally it doesn't make sense, right? We've got about a $250,000 budget annually, and thankfully we've been doing pretty well during the pandemic. Niles is this great community that's very close knit. We have this unique landmark that we are very proud of. We have a Leaning Tower. So it is an exact replica of the Leaning Tower that is in Pisa. It's a half-size replica. And it was built in 1934. And just last year in 2020, it attained a spot on the National Register of Historic Places.
So do people come and get their picture next to this Leaning Tower?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Niles?
Yep, yep. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. People take their picture next to the Leaning Tower all the time. And if you look at, you know, things you should do in Illinois, the Leaning Tower's on it.
All right. Next time I'm in Illinois, I got to go check it out.
Got to go check it out. Get a selfie in front of the Leaning Tower.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned the topic for our discussion today in the introduction of every member an ambassador. And I know we had some discussion around this topic as we were deciding what to talk about on this episode together. And I know, you know, this stems to your back to your days in Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about your experience in Girl Scouts and how that translates into the chamber world?
Absolutely. So we talked about the fact that I homeschooled kids. And once they went to college, it's time to earn some money and help pay for college. And so I kind of fell into a part-time job at Girl Scouts that turned into a job with their membership department. And membership in Girl Scouts means recruiting girls, recruiting leaders, right? And you have quotas you have to meet. And there is no possible way you can talk to enough girls and enough leaders to try to recruit enough girls and leaders to make those numbers. So you learn quickly. What you want to do is you want to make your leaders and your girls so happy with Girl Scouts that they want to go out and they want to bring their friends in. And so the girls want to bring their friends in, the moms want to bring their friends in, and all of a sudden they're your ambassadors and they're helping you make your numbers. And it worked in Girl Scouts. And when I interviewed for my first chamber job, and I was sitting in the boardroom with, I don't know, I think there were six board members at the time. Those interviews are always so intimidating, right? One of us and six of them. And we talked about membership and, you know, how are you going to increase membership? And I said, well, you know, I really think that organic growth is the best thing, that if you make your members really happy, they will go out and they will recruit new members for you. This is what we did in Girl Scouts. And I had a board member look at me and say, this ain't Girl Scouts, honey. And I said, it's duly noted. However, it's going to work. And it did. You know, we increased membership in that chamber from 500 to close to 700 by the time I left in 3 years.
Wow.
So it really, I really believe that if your members are happy with what you're doing, they can't help but talk about it.
That's right. So I imagine in Girl Scouts, you have fun activities. You know, if you get some young women out there and they're having a blast, you know, going, you know, canoeing or, you know, some maybe rock camping, climbing, rock climbing, zip lining. Yeah. I mean, that's easy to get your friends to come out and participate in that fun and join the organization. So as that translates over into the chamber world, what are some of those highlights that you try to really make a good impression on your members that they go and tell their friends that are in other businesses to, you know, come check out the chamber?
So one of the things that we love to do, we did it in Frankfurt, we do it here in Niles, is have a morning networking event that is, it's called Niles Morning Network. It is a free event and its registration is not required. So of course that's different during COVID, right? So we're just going to talk pre-COVID. Registration is not required. So it's pretty casual. If you're able to make it that day, you know, you wake up at 7:30 or 7 o'clock that morning and go, yeah, I don't have anything on the calendar. I can make this event this morning. So it really encourages higher attendance because there's no need to be accountable ahead of time, right? But we encourage our members to bring a friend to that. Bring somebody who's not currently a part of the chamber. Have them come and check us out. And it gives them that flexibility to say, you know, this really is a great group. Just there's no pressure. Just come check it out. Our success with that has been that almost every time someone comes and checks it out and they end up joining. Yeah. We almost never has someone come and been with us and said, no, this doesn't look like it'll help me at all. So a very kind of invite your friends to try us out. Invite them to try us out a couple of times. Come to a business after hours. Come to a learning event. Come to our events and check us out and see. If you come to an event and you think that, no, there's nothing there for me, that's fine. And I learned early on, chamber membership is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And so there are businesses that will never understand the value of the chamber. And I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but I'm just wasting my time. Yeah. And so why would I do that? Right. It's way easier to reach out to those businesses that understand the value.
Absolutely. I love the idea of, you know, every member being an ambassador. So, I mean, most chambers have an ambassadors group that kind of gets trained and, you know, chartered with the responsibility to go out and spread the mission of the chamber and help inform, you know, some of these businesses in the community that don't know. But if you can translate that into every member having that understanding and having that fire, that mm-hmm. that conviction of the chamber has helped my business, it'll help yours, and having the care enough, you know, to share that with others in the community, I think is so key.
Yeah.
And I'm just,
I kind of always started that with my office staff. So I've never had a membership person on staff. It has been my feeling that whoever answers that phone, and of course now it's just me, but whoever answers that phone should be able to sell a chamber membership.
Yes.
Whoever answers that phone should be so convicted about why the chamber is important in our community that it should be easy for them to be able to communicate that.
Yeah.
And translating that to our members, every member should know what the value of our chamber is, that they're eager to have those conversations. Because if you've got something that's helping your business, why would you not share it with your friends?
That's right.
Why would you not want your fellow business owners to succeed?
Yeah. So I think that also it goes back to how you're treating each individual member, each interaction that you have with the member. So can you talk to that some as to through different events and just phone calls and interactions and visits, you know?
So the chamber is really very relational, right? It's about getting to know people one-on-one. Not every chamber member has the same needs. not every chamber member wants the business after hours. Not every chamber member wants to know about legislative issues. But you do have to get to know your members one-on-one and make sure you're giving them what they need. So we place a lot of value in visits to our members and right now phone calls to our members. So we do have not an ambassador group, we call it a retention and recruitment group. And every month they have 25 members that they're calling just to check in on, just to say hi and see how you're doing. There's no other purpose for that phone call other than saying, hey, you know, we care about you and we want to know how it's going. And when a business owner feels that somebody cares how they're doing and wants to listen to them, it means a lot to them.
It does. It means a whole lot. And I'm thinking you need to be able to give that experience to them that really wows them. I mean, yep. You may have business owners that have been members of other chambers, maybe a previous business, a different location, you know, different experience. And for good or bad, you know, whatever that experience may be, they have their preconceived ideas of what a chamber is. So when they come and interact with you, it puts it on you as a chamber to make sure that they have an experience that wows them, that really makes them want to talk. Because if you think about it, how often do you ever go to a restaurant and be like, that meal was really mediocre? You know, let me write a mediocre review and tell all my friends they really need to check out this restaurant because it's okay.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah. I think I have the benefit. You know, I think most of us that are in the chamber world fell into it backwards, right? I don't know of any little girl that at 10 years old said, I can't wait to be a Chamber of Commerce executive director, right? We all fell into it backwards. But I quickly learned that it's something I'm good at. I'm passionate about it. And I kind of came into both of my chamber jobs as an outsider. I wasn't entrenched in the communities before I got the positions. When that happens, you don't know who's an insider and who's an outsider.
Yeah.
And by nature, I cast my net wide and I include everybody. And so when you don't know who you're supposed to exclude and your philosophy is include everybody, all of a sudden people who maybe didn't feel like they were part of the inside are like, oh, I can do that. I can be on a committee. I can be involved. I can be active. I can be a part of this. And all of a sudden they feel more included. And you'd be amazed at how much they talk about it. You'd be amazed at how much they talk about it. And that, you know, that getting them to talk to other people about it is what helps your energy.
I can see maybe even certain segments of the population that may have been excluded in the past, that it becomes a real game changer for them to see that they're being noticed and see that, you know, you're working for them as well. I imagine a lot of the people that felt like they were excluded in the past probably were not members when you came around. Yeah. So you had some work to do to kind of rehab some relationships maybe. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it is just, it's so helpful to have the members that feel so invested in the chamber, having those conversations with other businesses, because let's face it, when I say to a business, hey, you know, why don't you come to this event? Why don't you think about joining the chamber? Guess what? I take a paycheck home. And they know I take a paycheck home. And they know part of my job is to recruit new members. But when Jeff, who owns State Farm, says to the new agent in town, you got to join the Chamber of Commerce. This is going to help your business. That means so much more than my conversation ever could.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. It just being able to have that, you know, this reminds me a few episodes back, I had Sherry Pash on the show, and we talked about testimonial strategies. Yeah. And I think that's closely related to what we're talking about today. So as you come across a member that has a great experience, let's repurpose that, you know, record it, you know, whether it's in writing or audio or video, whatever, and then repurpose it.
It's hard to ask that, right? But it shouldn't be. When a member's singing the chamber's praises, you know what? could you put that in writing for me? Because that would be so helpful to us. And it really is those testimonials, those honest opinions from one business owner to another.
Yeah. Or, and even as Sherry mentioned, and people can go back and listen to her episode, but she had mentioned where you have a member singing the praises of the chamber, and rather than maybe even on the spot saying, could you put that in writing? Because the chances are they probably won't get around to actually writing it down, and you don't want to be in the position of chasing them. But if you just kind of jot down some notes of what they said, and then you can write it, and send it to them and say, you know, when we spoke the other day, you had mentioned this. Would you mind me using this as a testimonial, you know, to help others see the value of the chamber? And then it's just a matter of them saying, absolutely, of course. And at the same time, we'll promote your business. So
I have taken to when somebody writes me a short note in an email that is thanking us for something, like, you know, you are so welcome. Do you mind if I use this?
Yeah.
and I haven't once had somebody tell me no.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Does just to be maybe a little broad in the question, as you think of every member being an ambassador, is there anything that we're missing as far as thinking of chambers out there? What could they be doing to help reinforce the idea of, first of all, having people think about the chamber enough to share the mission and purpose of the chamber with others, but then to have that good experience, not even good, an excellent experience at the chamber, so it's worth sharing.
Yeah. So we have, we really, rather than focusing on how do we get new members, the focus is on how can we make the chamber experience fabulous for every member that we have.
Yeah.
And so that may be reaching out to individual members and saying, you know, are you getting what you need from the chamber? Boy, that's a hard question to ask, right? Because they may come back with a whole list of things that you can't possibly do. So you got to be careful how you couch that. But trying to find out from your members if your members are getting what they need, and my members may be different than someone else's members, right? So I need to know my members, know what they need, and make sure I'm meeting those needs. Once you're meeting their needs, they're going to spread the word. Once you make your members as happy as you can and as satisfied as you can, excited as you can about your chamber, they're going to spread that word.
Yeah.
So it really is about meeting their needs.
You almost need to set the stage for them and say, as a chamber, this is our mission. You know, we want to, and in a summary of, you know, what your mission is, you know, are we meeting your needs based on what our purpose and our mission is, and what can we do to help, you know? And I think that
to help is a great place to go. We also, you know, we do not have an ambassador committee. We have a retention and recruitment committee, and those committee members really kind of charge everybody that's on the board or on a committee with reaching out. And so it's not just me trying to find out, are we meeting the needs of our members, but it's those 30 people having conversations with other members, bringing it back and saying, okay, well, this is what I'm hearing and this is what I'm hearing. And, you know, when I got here, we didn't have a Women in Business committee. We didn't have a legislative committee.
Yeah.
I had members come up to me. I had a board member come up to me. I think I was here, I don't know, a month. We need to start Women in Business. We need to start Women in Business. I said, I've got to find the paper clips. Hang on. I need a second. So she agreed to give me a second to catch my breath. And after a few months, I said, look, if you are willing to chair this committee, I am 100% behind it. This committee is one of our most successful. It's one of our most successful groups right now because it wasn't driven by me. It was driven by the needs of our members. Legislative and advocacy is another one. It wasn't driven by me. It wasn't driven by the board. It was driven by members that said, we think we need to be more involved in this. Okay, let's figure out how to do it.
Yeah. And like you're pointing to, having committees is a great way to engage these members so they can catch that vision and go on and share.
And you know, it's I think I learned this in Girl Scouts too. It's it's so many times easier to do something yourself than to have a volunteer do it. Yeah. And I know we have limited time in the day, but honestly, you know, my gut tells me if I do it myself, it's going to be done right. I'm going to know exactly how, and I'm going to know that it gets done. And in order to give it to a volunteer is sometimes harder. It's sometimes harder to take these 10 tasks and give them to 10 volunteers. However, they become so much more invested in the chamber and engaged in the chamber that the payoff is exponential.
Yeah.
And you don't get that buy-in any other way.
Yeah. It's the old quote of, you know, if you give a man a fish versus teaching him to fish, I mean, you can help one person if you give him the fish, or if you teach him to yeah. fish, then they're out there spreading the word.
Exactly.
Doing that.
Exactly.
So, great yeah. tip. Well, as we start to wrap things up here, I wanted to ask you, for any chamber champions listening, what might be one tip or word of advice that you would share with them to help take their organization up to the next level?
Have those conversations with your members and listen to them. Listen to what your members want. And even if it's not something that you're currently doing, find a way, if it makes sense within your mission, find a way to make it happen. Find a way to engage them to make it happen.
Awesome. Totally agree. Now, the question that I like to ask everyone that I have on the podcast is, as we look to the future of chambers, how do you see the future of chambers of commerce and their purpose going forward?
Future is bright for chambers of commerce because I think chambers are relational. And I think no matter what happens, those relationships will be important for business. And so whether we move away from brick and mortar to more online shopping and things like that, relationships are still going to be important. And chambers are still going to be the ones that connect people to each other.
Absolutely. And I think that's a key point of whether it's in person or online, because there's ways to build relationships, even if business is being done out the back door, so to say, you know, absolutely, with online stuff.
Yeah. The number of emails I've sent this week introducing one member to another member so they can get something done, I can't count. So because we're not in person, it's a lot more emails. I can't invite people to events where they can meet each other, but that's okay, because we're still gonna introduce people to each other. People will still come to the chamber when they want to meet somebody for a specific purpose.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to give you a chance to share any contact information or ways that listeners could get in touch with you if they have any questions about how you're doing things there at the Niles Chamber or anything that we discussed in this episode. What would be the best way for them to reach out and connect?
My email is pretty simple, Alicia, Alicia, at nileschamber.com. And that's probably the best way. We've got a phone, but... email is probably best.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely easiest, yeah. I guess. Well, I will, I'll get your email in our show notes for this episode, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode110. And Alicia, I just wanted to thank you for spending time with us today here on Chamber Chat Podcast, sharing your experience. I mean, I want to join Girl Scouts now after hearing you talk about it.
They're not going to let you.
that's good.
But the Boy Scouts will let the girls join. Just, you know.
Yeah, that's right. No, but I think you're setting a good example and being able to really help members catch the vision and to spread the good word and mission purpose that your chamber is doing. So thank you for your leadership and example and for sharing that with us today.
And Brandon, thanks for what you do. Thanks for hosting these podcasts and getting information out to the chambers for us to learn from one another.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry. As a podcast listener and as a chamber leader, have you considered the benefits that podcasting could have for your chamber? This is what I like to call the podcast pivot. If you're like many chambers, you're always looking for ways to provide non-involvement value to your member investors. Many chambers are finding that podcasting is a great solution. A podcast platform becomes a media arm for your organization that builds trust in your community, tells the stories about your members as well as your advocacy efforts, and becomes a valuable, tangible asset for non-dues revenue. If you'd like to see if podcasting is a good fit for your chamber, visit chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot to learn more and to gain access to our free chamber podcasting guide. Again, this is found at chamberchatpodcast.com/pivot.